Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Monday, November 29th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high quality content. I don't know, Russ. I'm kind of out of words at the moment.
I got nothing.
Well, thanks for making Locked On Flyers your first listen every day. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Flyers to keep up to date on all the Flyers news, our episodes, collectively process what this team is right now. You can also email the show at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel Donner. You can find me on Twitter at rmiriam. I'm here with Russ Cohen, who is on Twitter at Sportsology. On today's show, we are going to talk about the last couple of games versus Carolina and the Devils, some common trends I would surmise we are going to talk about. And then we're going to kind of just ask, what now? Like, what does hitting the panic button now mean for the team, and where exactly are we? Then we will wrap up with our nemesis of the week, as well as a little tidbit of news from Montreal that maybe could affect us. Locked On Flyers is free and available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you are listening. So subscribe and you will get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right, Russ. So what we do know at this point is that the Flyers are banged up. But that is also no excuse for what has transpired over the last couple of games. They kept some of the lines together, the top lines, which was, yeah, I think, the right approach to take with keeping that Frost, Farabee, Atkinson line together and Coots with Giroux and Konechny, and then just swapping in Max Wellman on the fourth line for the game last night versus the Devils. Obviously, when Nate Thompson went out, D-Pairs stayed the same. So, you know, square peg, round hole may be happening at the moment with that. But let's talk about what these issues are, because to me, there are three main things happening here. They just have a complete lack of resiliency. They have a problem with key turnovers, and their power play is not supporting them.
Yeah, I mean, the power play is the most obvious. And when you take the first power play off the ice and the second one looks a lot better, at least with puck movement, that's a sign things aren't going right. And it's not a knock on anybody on the second, because they have Keith Yandel and Atkinson, and they have good guys on there. But it's just, that's where it is. You know, as far as the turnovers, there definitely are some brain cramps, and they're coming from players you don't expect. Ivan Provorov, one of them. I think what happens is you get guys out there that are just trying to do too much, and the brain can only process so much information at a high rate, and I think that's where you have some problems. And then also there's also just, you know, guys out there just do make physical errors. They do. And it's going to be hard to get this group to play like mistake-free hockey. We haven't seen it. I don't know if we will see it. I think that's just one of those things where it's probably a pipe dream. But teams with speed give them problem, and particular players with speed will haunt them all game long. They will never have an answer for it. And part of it is because they're not the fastest team in the league, but it's not like necessarily a total team speed thing. But again, it is a thing where if you want to match up against the Flyers bottom pairing, which, you know, the Devils did, you will be able to skate by, you know, Braun and Yandel at times. And, you know, the Devils were able to do that. There's not much the Flyers can do about that. Not right now.
They had a similar issue, I think, against Carolina, who's also a fast team. And
yes,
just, you know, talking about the giveaway situation and turnovers, they had 16 giveaways in the game versus Carolina. So eventually one of those is going to bite you, right? Because
yeah,
that's just too many of them for it to not have an effect. And right now they're hovering just out of the bottom third in the NHL in giveaway percentage. in terms of the percent of those giveaways being in the defensive zone. And that's exactly where they're going to beat you. And it happened again in the game against the Devils. Just when you think, oh, maybe the Flyers are back in it.
Right.
Key giveaway in the defensive zone leading to a Devils goal. So, you know, it hasn't been their biggest problem, but it's certainly been glaring in the last couple of games that we're talking about right now. And it cannot become a trend along with the other things.
No, and you know what another thing is that has been alarming on this little run here, bad run, and definitely happened against Carolina too, just too many shots. There's not enough shot suppression going on with this team. Like, as an example, with the Devils, with 4 minutes left in the game, they had already 64 shot attempts. That's a boatload, man. Like, that's, and I'm not giving Martin Jones a pass. Whenever we want to talk about him, I'm ready for that too. But it's not great either. And that is a total team concept, the way you play thing. And the best way to not give up a lot of shots, to actually have puck possession. They don't have enough puck possession. They just don't.
No, it's not their style. I mean, they've been playing a lot of dump and chase hockey recently. It's not been working that well. I mean, when it does, it's pretty. And I think maybe it's like a shiny object for them.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work often enough to make it something to go to as often that they do, especially on the power play. I think they overuse it. Whereas possession is going to get them the shots and keep the puck out of the other team's hands. And, you know, that's just better off for them in the long run. I do think it is weird how terrible the Flyers have been in the second period of games this season. And in these two games in particular, you know, against Carolina, they basically fell apart in the second period. They allowed 4 goals. They had allowed the Canes to come back and tie it 3 times in that game. And then in the Devils game last night, 13 high danger chances for the Devils in the second period, 0 for the Flyers. Like, that's just not going to win you games if you have a whole 20 minutes where you're not doing anything.
No, and like, the Flyers were lucky against the Devils. The Devils' power play was bad. Imagine if it was good. They'd have been blown out of the place earlier. So the resiliency factor that you brought up is a real good one, because they have a little bit of it, but they have only just so much. So, like,
yeah,
you know, the shorthanded goals is part of that. That's good. They do fight back with that at times. You know, that third period goal against the Devils was good, but then they can't, like, back it up. They can't stay with it when the other team says, all right, you know what? We're going to kind of pour it on here. They can't do anything about it. And that's the part where that's a total team effort. And at some point, you know, even Martin Jones is going to have to play, like, the game of his life to stop that. To maybe stop the bleeding on this. And, you know, he still didn't in this one.
The goaltending, I think, especially for Martin Jones, has kind of followed the level that the team is playing, right? And
it has, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need that superhuman effort. Somebody's got to pull that out. It just, because otherwise, you know, they're going to lose 3 out of every 4 games for a while. And everybody's going to say, well, they really need Ryan Ellis back. And that's great. And they do. But until that happens, that's when you have to have one of these goalies just say, all right, look, enough's enough. And we really haven't seen that from either one of them. Jones close. Jones close against in that 2-1 game. What was that, Florida? You know, that was it for him. But nobody's getting a shutout.
No, that is for certain. Well, you know, we did have the shorthanded goal. We do have Joel Farabee scoring in 3 straight games, so that's good.
Yes.
So there are glimmers of hope here. And
yeah, no question.
That's kind of where I want to leave this segment before we take a break and go into our next segment, where we're really going to get into that, because I think that there are a lot of problems on this team, but they're not insurmountable.
No.
And you have to ask yourself, okay, if you want to make a big drastic move here because things are bad, what does that actually mean? And we will get into that in the next segment.
We will. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
Thanks for making Locked On Flyers your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. All right, Russ. So I think, you know, regardless of the result of the last couple of games or the last few games, there's been a trend of the team underperforming to some degree, whether it's the lack of scoring or, you know, turnovers or things like that. And there's also been a whole slew of injuries. And AV alluded to that in a press conference last week or over the weekend, you know, starting the season without Wade Allison, Tanner Lyzinski, Sam Moran, and then Kevin Hayes got hurt. Ryan Ellis got hurt. Then Ellis got hurt again. And then Hayes got hurt again. And Brown is out long term. Brassard and now Thompson. So there's just been a lot going on with the team. And it's hard to, you know, given everything, parse out exactly what is happening here with, you know, who's to blame if you want to assess blame, if that's your primary goal. But I really think we need to take a little bit of a step back here, because I see a lot of people in panic mode, and I'm not entirely sure that's warranted. But if it is, you know, some of the solutions being thrown about, is that the right solution here? So just from a general perspective, you know, what is your indicator for panic mode, and how do you separate, you know, what could be attributed to coaching versus execution?
Okay. So first thing is, like, if you really were counting on Wayne Allison to play a full season, even under good circumstances, it wasn't going to happen. He didn't do it in college. So I think that was unrealistic. Lyzinski, we all knew, was coming off a hip surgery. So he was never going to be ready at the beginning anyhow, even though he was making strides. And Sam Moran is Sam Moran. Like, you can't count on Sam Moran, unfortunately. Moving that aside, they have had some injuries, but I do believe some coaching philosophies here have hurt the team too. So as an example, I can't tell you how many times in the third period we all look at each other and say, why is the fourth line playing right now? Why? Why do we, does that team continue, do the Flyers continue to use the fourth line when you're down a goal or you're down two goals, there's 10 minutes left in the game, 11 minutes left in the game, 9 minutes left in the game? Why? Why aren't these things happening?
I want to just, like, add a point to your point about the fourth line, is that it's not just putting the fourth line out immediately after a goal scored against. That's, you know, I think has happened, but isn't the bigger problem. What you said is the bigger problem. It's not shortening the bench
right
when you are behind.
Right. They don't, for whatever reason, they're not doing it. Now, throwing up the white flag. I really have never seen AV do that very much, but he's done it a few times this year. I can't remember exactly the game, but one of the games they were down 3 goals, he didn't pull the goalie. And then the last week's game, last Saturday's game, when they had a power play, they didn't pull the goalie. They were down 2 goals. Didn't do it. And then they never pulled the goalie. So there's been 2 or 3 times this year where it's just been like, yeah, we're not pulling the goalie. And essentially that game's over. Like, at that point, you're not getting points. Like, it's not happening. Where in the past, he would have pulled the goalie. He would have pulled the goalie with 4 minutes to go in a game just to try and get a goal, just to try and change momentum. He's no longer doing that. Why? I don't know. I don't know if that's a change in his mind, if it's because of the personnel he has. I don't know. But those are changes that I've seen in the coach. Now, the players. Okay. Claude Giroux is still Claude Giroux, so I really don't put any blame on him at all. But I did say, and this only stands to reason, and I thought Frost last game had a pretty good game. If you want to get the most out of Morgan Frost, you put him with Claude Giroux. Because if you remember last year in the bubble, he was really good with Claude Giroux, especially when he first came up. He was very productive. They don't want to do that. They don't want to break up that line. Okay. So now you're turning yourself into a one-line team and hoping for the best for the other lines. Like, to me, that's not going to solve the problem here. Because now, without these players, this is a long-term issue. And it's not going to get solved in the next game or two. So you have to use players from Lehigh, and you have to get past this. And if that means you have to completely remake your lines, then guess what? You need to completely remake your lines. And there's a definite hesitancy in doing that. Now, defense-wise, you can't do much. You got to leave it the way it is. That's fine. They tried to make the change. They switched it back with Ristolainen now back, you know, just and Sanheim being on the second pair. They gave Sanheim probably too many minutes. The one game he played like 29 minutes. That's fine. Provorov seems to be playing better. He had a little slip. That's not the worst thing. So you leave that part alone. And then, well, anyhow, I'll let you comment and then we'll go on. There's a lot.
So there is a lot going on here. And that's where I'm just a little perplexed as to why people are in this severe panic mode. Because, yes, there are a lot of little things happening right now. But there's so much complexity to it that I don't think you can accurately attribute it to one thing. It's not just coaching. It is absolutely also execution. It is absolutely also some of the injury stuff. Now, could coaching be doing more to try and fix it? Yes. Could management be doing more to try and fix some of these little things? Yes. But there are so many factors here that I'm hesitant to make any rash moves at this point. I think it does need a little bit more time. And, you know, I ask myself, okay, make a big, bold move. Like, what is that move and where does that get you? Because there's a few things happening here. So, you know, a lot of calls for fire AV right now, right? Because especially related to the power play and execution, he keeps saying the buck stops here with him. Okay, if you're saying that things are so dire and he has given himself all of this responsibility, then you fire him, right? Mm-hmm. Who do you name acting coach? When these three head coaches, I mean, I know there's a fourth one, but he never gets talked about and we don't exactly know what he does on a day-to-day basis, but which is true. He's not a face out there.
No.
So AV and Mike Yeo and Michel Therrien are so inextricably tied to each other. And obviously Therrien is part of the problem with the power play. I mean, is like Mike Yeo your default option here? And is that a good thing?
Okay. So let's talk this all out. So, from a management standpoint, the first easy thing and smart thing should have been done already, and that would have been Chuck Fletcher calling a press conference and saying, hey, look, you know what? We've made a change here. We've gotten rid of, you know, Michel Therrien. He's gone. The power play is very disappointing. We're changing things up here. And put whoever you want as the power play coach. Or give Yo both things and bring somebody else up from Lehigh, that's fine. Because honestly, Lehigh's not making the playoffs this year. Like, they're just not. And so if you could pilf them to help the big team, that's what you need to do. But that's the first thing. Chuck Fletcher has been too quiet here. Now, as far as trades, it's hard to make trades. There is a guy available. Do you want Evander Kane? There's a deal to be had if you want Evander Kane. But let me know if you want him.
Yeah, I do not want Evander Kane.
Okay. So aside from Evander Kane, and I don't blame you, there's not a lot of deals to be made. You could call Montreal while they're in a perplexing state and see if somebody's willing to talk to you about a trade. But Buffalo, same thing. But probably you're not going to be able to make one of any circumstance. So that's out. You always could look on the waiver wire. But you have to have what you feel is a player that could fit in to your lineup. Now, them being tight to the cap hurts them in that regard. Now, they're probably not as tight as they were before with Hayes out. But I haven't looked at their cap recently. So we'll just assume there's nobody that they're going to really act on for the waiver wire. So Dave Scott. Now, Dave Scott could have a press conference and give that vote of confidence for AV, but he doesn't want to, clearly.
No.
And I don't blame him, right? So that's out. What I know about Dave Scott, and I've never really had a long conversation with him, but I could tell he is your basic corporate guy. And so generally with a corporation, stuff's got to be like, the house has to be on fire for that guy to step up and make a decision like, I'm going to fire Fletcher, or I'm going to fire AV, and sorry, Chuck, you didn't do it, so I'm doing it. Like, the house has to be on fire. The house is not on fire. So Dave Scott isn't going to do anything. I think the panic mode is because the Devils are better than maybe Flyers fans thought. The Rangers are better than maybe Flyers fans thought. And now they're looking at the Metro like, there is no easy team here, even though we did say every team got better. It was good that the Flyers got better, but every team got better. So, and Columbus is better than, you know, we all thought. I'll include myself in that one. So that has now really changed the landscape. On the positive side is the Islanders stink right now. Will they stink all year? I don't know. But if they all of a sudden get good, that muddies the picture too, right? So I think that's where the panic comes in, even though it's not a lot of points yet. It's not like the Islanders where they're 12 out. But I think they just look at the schedule and look how they're playing against the top teams. And honestly, you know, the way they played against Carolina, just as, you know, from the blimp view, there's a difference between what's first place and what's the Flyers right at this moment. Like, we all see it.
That's ultimately what I'm saying here, is that I understand the frustration, and I understand it feels like this team is looking a lot like last year, but it's not in a lot of ways. And if you look at the realistic options moving forward, there's not a good outcome, or there's not a guaranteed outcome to any of it.
No.
And so I very much hesitate in doing anything rash at this point, because like you said, the house is not on fire. It might be heating up a little bit, but it's
heating up.
No.
It's like, if you have a wood stove, it's heating up. Like, you know, you might have to get it looked at soon, but we're not there yet.
All right. Well, on that note, you know what else is heating up, Russ? It's Cyber Monday, and it's one of the best days of the year shopping-wise, and Built.com is the best place to click. You can get at least 20% off everything delicious and healthy, and that's 20% off site-wide. They have even bigger discounts on Built Boost, Broth, and Built Swag. They have a brand new flavor just in time for Cyber Monday. It's Caramel Almond Delight. And let me tell you, I have tried it. They sent one to me. It is so delicious. It's got caramelized chocolate, almonds, and is so delightful. It's only got 150 calories and 17 grams of protein. But maybe this season you're also craving white chocolate, and I love white chocolate.
Me too.
They have a new Puffs flavor, white chocolate cheesecake. It is filled with a marshmallowy center, and it's covered in white chocolate, under only 140 calories and 17 grams of protein. It's the season to save and give your taste buds the gift of Built Bar. So go to Built.com. And you'll get 20% off everything. Head to Built.com and enter code LOCK20 before it's too late.
Bet online. It's the holiday season, and we all know what that means. More football with playoffs, with college bowl games, and more. And nothing goes better with football than good food and betting. Bet online has you covered all holiday season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% off welcome bonus and promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. And it's not just football on BetOnline. It has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals.
All right, so after that heated discussion we had about the Flyers. Sorry.
I'm going to truthful keep... discussion.
Yes, truthful discussion. We had getting to our nemesis of the week and also some NHL news around it. Kind of can combine the two in a lot of ways. Last week, we talked about Florida as our nemesis of the week. And this week, it's COVID. There's a scary rise, I think, in COVID cases in the NHL. Obviously, we've talked about Ottawa having missed some games. And now the Islanders have finally postponed some games and a little bit overdue, I think.
Yeah, the league waited too long for it. They did.
Definitely. But one of the games affected is Tuesday night's game versus the Flyers, which is now off for the time being. And so that affects the Flyers' schedule. Cam York is also in COVID protocol in Lehigh Valley, which is not a great sign, especially if that leads to more cases with that team, because that's the last thing they need now. So, yeah, not great.
No, and, you know, the interesting thing is you never want to treat players as robots. I always go back to Alex Stalock, who, you know, got COVID, and he's still out. Like, he's had heart problems. I don't know if he has the myocardia or whatever, but he can't play. And that could happen to any player that gets COVID. Like, it's not a guarantee that they will just, you know, be asymptomatic and come back after their quarantine period. So you always have to sort of look at it like, boy, you know, it's a little scary. You don't want to get it. And, you know, there is a new variant and it's not here yet, but sounds like it's coming, Rachel.
Yeah. So we will have to keep an eye on that and just really, you know, hope that everybody being vaccinated helps them get through this pretty easy. And it's just a matter of quarantine until they can come back. So we will keep our fingers crossed on that front. The other little bit of news that I do want to talk about, which is separate from all of that and our nemesis this week, is a little bit of drama up in Montreal. And they are a mess on and off the ice. Not, you know, the Flyers are nowhere near that right now.
Their house is on fire.
Let's be clear. Yes, their house is definitely on fire. And over the weekend, Scott Mellenby, former Flyer, who was assistant GM up there, resigned. Now, apparently, he had been in talks with ownership to be director of hockey ops or some promotion within the system because, again, the house is on fire. Marc Bergevin, the general manager, Trevor Timmins, the assistant general manager, as well as Paul Wilson, who's another executive with the Montreal Canadiens, have been relieved of their duties as of yesterday. They are currently looking for a new GM, and it is not Scott Mellenby. But apparently he was promised it and then told he was, you know, no longer under consideration. So he basically said, I'm going to take my ball and go home. Scott Mellenby did. And rightfully so.
I don't blame him.
It just sort of begs the question a little bit with Scott Mellenby's obvious ties to Philadelphia. Is there a role for him with the Flyers?
Well, I mean, I would make a role for him. How about that? You know, Brent Flair and Chuck, if Comcast doesn't mind paying another salary. He's not a bad guy to bring into the fold because you don't know what's going to happen in the near future. And so it is good to have extra guys around. Now, like the Flyers had Dean Lombardi around. Never forget that, because if there's ever a moment where Dave Scott does sort of fire Chuck, you know, he could be the guy that takes over seamlessly. So, you know, again, same thing with Mellenby. Maybe you have him around just in case. Remember Ron Hextall was brought in as what? Like assistant GM, something, something. And then before you knew it, he was running everything. So it's not a bad idea.
Yeah. So another thing to keep an eye on as Montreal sorts out its situation at the moment. That'll do it for today's show. And we will be back again tomorrow. We won't obviously have a preview of the now postponed Flyers and Isles game, but we'll talk a little bit more about the trends and, you know, if anything changes in the interim between this episode and tomorrow. And we'll be talking about the Phantoms because there's a lot to talk about there. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you. Send us in questions via Twitter at Lockdown Flyers, or you can email the show at lockdownflyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's R-M-I-R-I-A-M.
I'm Russ, and I'm at Sportsology, S-P-O-R-T-S-O-L-O-G-Y.
You made us your first listen today. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling.